a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com, BYU versus Liberty. The Cougars and the Flames. It's a interesting matchup to me because both BYU and Liberty have honor codes, both faith-based institutions, and I think this Liberty program is one that's on the rise as a FBS independent, second year as an independent in the FBS ranks, long history in the FCS the past few decades. And to discuss more about the Liberty Flames and this football program that's now 6-3 on the season, welcome on in Liberty insider Damian Sordelet for the news in advance. Damian, welcome on in.
Thank you, Mitch, for having me on.
Yeah, excited. Like I said, excited about this matchup because I think Liberty football is there's a commitment there out in Lynchburg for this football program. Just maybe speak to year two of the FBS independent era for Liberty.
Yeah, if you look at the commitment from a financial standpoint, within these first 2 years of being at the FBS ranks, Liberty's committed $75 million just to the expansion of one side of Williams Stadium, which added an upper deck to the east grandstands, a new press box, south colonnade, and a 3,000-square-foot video board in the north end zone. And then they're adding they're expanding the football operations center that should be completed not long after this season's concluded. That's nearly doubling it in size just to give them more of an FBS feel and actually close out that side of the stadium. So they've really made the financial backing to make this thing work as an FBS independent to give itself, a high group of five, borderline power five feel to the stadium. And if you look at the record at 6-3, they've had a big kind of turnaround after the first 2 weeks, losing to Syracuse and then at Louisiana with a defense that, quite frankly, last year was abysmal in several statistical categories. And this year has been the backbone of this team with the ability to make some plays, particularly getting into the backfield and then getting some takeaways. And then the offense is really starting to come on now after the first open week. They've gone more tempo, as we saw last week against UMass, being able to put up 63 points, 49 of those coming in the first half, where they racked up 502 yards and really obliterated the Minutemen. So we're seeing this program, like you said, make a rise. And, they didn't have this much success in the FBS ranks, or FCS ranks, excuse me, only one playoff appearance. But, in year two of FBS, they're on the doorstep of bowl eligibility.
Talking with Damian Sordelet here on KSL News Radio. BYU and Liberty going to kick things off at 5:30 p.m. here on KSL News Radio. And, I look at the matchup, and you mentioned it against UMass last week, 63 points for Liberty, 500-plus yards in the first half. I mean, I've seen BYU play UMass the last few years, and I can tell you BYU has struggled with UMass at times, even losing to the Minutemen 2 years ago. So I don't care who the opponent is. You put up 63 points on anyone, that's pretty impressive. So speak to this offensive attack that head coach Hugh Freeze has brought in his first season as the head coach.
Yeah, and it's really taking hold here in the last couple of weeks, because in the first 6 weeks of the season. He had the well-documented issue with his back, which forced him to coach from the press box in a hospital bed in week one against Syracuse. Then he had to sit in a medical chair in the press box again the following week at Louisiana. And ever since he's been down on the field, he's gotten a better sense of what they needed to do in terms of the tempo of the offense and, you know, if they need to be more run-based or if they can attack it through the air. And earlier this year, because of the lack of depth they have on the defensive side, he chose to go more complementary football, which means instead of the warp speed that they showed last week against UMass, there were a lot of checks to the line of scrimmage, looking over to check to see if they were going to stay in the same play call or change things up. Now they're going, they know what they're running. You get the ball set and, you know, they're snapping it very quickly. That's the tempo that they're going with. And they've been successful with it. Quarterback Buckshot Calvert has not thrown an interception since the first quarter of week two against Louisiana. That's 236 consecutive throws without an interception. He's only one of two active quarterbacks at the FBS level with 11,000 or more passing yards. And he's got a NFL caliber wide receiver in Antonio Gandy-Golden, who has the program record with 3,500 career receiving yards, just accepted an invite to the Reese's Senior Bowl earlier this week. And, you know, he's 6'4", 220, and probably will pose, you know, a problem there on the outside for BYU's secondary. So he's got some really good pieces there that you can throw out there on offense that you can make this offense work, whether you have to slow it down or whether you go tempo and able to try to push the ball down the field.
Yeah, I've been letting BYU fans know about Liberty's talent because they got, as you mentioned, with the quarterback and the wide receiver, there's an explosive element here to this offense. But I want to go back to Hugh Freeze. You mentioned that he was in the hospital bed in week one. I remember that Syracuse game, watching it on ESPN Plus and thinking, that was so crazy. I mean, you as a media member covering the Flames, what was that like, covering a head coach that was doing press conferences on a TV from a hospital bed?
It was surreal, to be honest, because it was something that you never thought you would have to do covering sports. You figure in certain other things that might happen, but you never think you would be sitting down in the media room and then they pull up a big screen TV with a live feed to Freeze up in the coach's booth with the two-way camera. So that way he can see who's asking questions. And he can see his response while he's lying in a hospital bed. That's certainly unique. And the backstory behind that, and I'm sure most people now know that the doctors found a staph infection in the disc of his back where he had a herniated disc problem. And they had to do emergency surgery on August 16th at UVA Medical Center, about an hour north in Charlottesville from Lynchburg. And, you know, that really knocked him back because they were, you know, in the midst of training camp and getting ready for the season. It was his first year back after 2 years spent, you know, in coaching purgatory for what happened at Ole Miss. And, you know, he just wanted to be there for his team, which meant, you know, having to coach from a hospital bed and then coaching from a medical chair the following week, because he wanted to be there because he had been at practices in person. He had been able to watch them. So it's something that, you know, he wanted to show his dedication to his team by being there. So, you know, that was a surreal moment that first week. Again, it was another one when I had to go up to the coach's booth at Cajun Field and, you know, interview him like there right after the game. That was kind of a unique situation because he hadn't even addressed the team yet. I went up there and asked some questions about the game before he had a chance to talk to his players. And, you know, that was a unique situation. So, you know, it was a surreal thing, but it's good to see him back on the sideline and kind of get back to some normalcy.
Talk with Damian Sordelet here, Liberty Insider for News and Advance. Check him out, all of his writings, his bylines at newsadvance.com. And Damian, you know, this Liberty and BYU program, as I mentioned earlier, I find it fascinating because I like that BYU schedules one independent programs to lend a helping hand. Obviously, it can be a difficult transition moving up from the FCS to the FBS independent level like Liberty has. And they need inventory for games. And I know Dave Brown with War Room has helped out, or with Gridiron has helped out a ton. So I'm curious, with this scheduling agreement between BYU and Liberty, do you feel like these two programs will schedule more in the future after these just two game series?
Yeah, I think so. And the way Liberty Athletic Director Ian McCall has said it is he views fellow independents as sort of a pseudo conference, that if you need games in late October, November, when most other teams are in conference play, you can go to those fellow independents and, you know, try to figure out ways to help each other out through scheduling. And BYU, and this is something McCall has told me, is that BYU was one of the three independents that reached out to Liberty and said, you need games, how can we help you out? And BYU was able to move some games around for 19 and then again 22 to make sure Liberty could get on the schedule. And that was something that, you know, really helped Liberty out and being able to get those first few seasons completed. And BYU is one of the teams that Liberty did want to face when it moved up to FBS, because the late Reverend Jerry Falwell, the founder of Liberty, has famously said he wants Liberty to be to evangelical Christians what Notre Dame is to Catholics and BYU is to Mormons. And what better way for Liberty to get on the map in that respect than to play BYU in a marquee sport like football on ESPNU? It will be Liberty's third game on an ESPN linear network, first one on a major one. The first two games they played back in 2014 and 15 were on ESPN News. 15 and 16 were on ESPN News, but ESPN News, you know, much bigger thing for them. So, you know, it's a way for them to work their way up to the equivalent of BYU and Notre Dame. And it's going to take some time because BYU and Notre Dame do have that storied longevity at, you know, college football's top tier. And it'll take Liberty a while to get to that point.
I'm curious, Damien, what's the official religion that's affiliated with Liberty? Is it Southern Baptist, or what's the official religion?
You know, they were formerly Liberty Baptist College when they were founded, and that was a Southern Baptist. But I think as the university has evolved, it's more non-denominational now than anything. They want to be open and welcome to any walks of faith. You know, primarily they will stick to, believe will be the Southern Baptist philosophy. I think you stay centered in that. But really the main focus, you know, from a religious standpoint, is non-denominational now.
I'm sure you can probably relate to this, and you're one of the few people that covers college football that can relate with me here, because whenever I go on radio interviews talking about BYU, sometimes I get questions about BYU's honor code, where, you know, how strict is it, things like that. So you can probably relate to that, because I'm sure you've gotten questions asked to you about Liberty's honor code. So I'm going to ask you as well. I mean, what does Liberty's honor code entail? What's some of the uniqueness that comes with their honor code for their university?
Well, Liberty's honor code really is somewhat similar to that of BYU. When you look at, you know, how they want to uphold Christian values, you know, with their students, and it's, you know, they've sort of laxed it up, or it's become a little bit more lax in recent years. When I, you know, was in high school looking to attend colleges along with several classmates, a few of them looked at Liberty, and this is maybe like a decade and a half ago. Liberty at the time, all men, males who were attending it had to wear a polo shirt buttoned up and slacks.
Oh, wow.
Throughout the year. You know, it's relaxed a little bit. I see more t-shirts, shorts, around campus these days. But they still have the same, you know, honor code systems where, in dorms, you don't want, males and females in the same room, during times, no alcohol in dorms, no rated R movies on campus, that sort of thing. But, you know, they've become a little bit more lax in terms of dress code, what students can do off campus. They even have some on-campus housing for married couples that if, you know, they get married while they're at Liberty, they can go live in a preset dorms where they can live together. And, you know, they do have marriage counseling. They have all those things to help with students who are, you know, trying to live a life of being a student and also being married, of how to help them out. And, you know, that's something that, you know, Liberty has been able to adjust to as the times have changed, to make sure, you know, the students have all the resources available to make these decisions and stay in line with the honor code.
Definitely a lot of similarities to BYU. You brought up an interesting point about married players, because like BYU, they have housing for married student athletes. Do you know how many football players on this program this year are married? And I ask that because every year when BYU plays, they're kind of like number one in most married players on a football team, and there's really usually no one even close to them. But I'm curious, does Liberty have a good number?
That I know of, no, I do not. I know recently they've had a couple players who were actually married and had children who graduated and were on the team. And this year, I don't know of any married players on this team this year. I think that cycle has, you know, gone through where, you know, had, you know, older kids who got married like during their sophomore, junior years and had a chance to start a family while they were on campus. Haven't had that yet this year. But, you know, obviously with BYU, I can understand how that's, you know, how you would get a married couple while they're on campus. And, you know, that's great for them. And I honestly think Liberty has had its fair share come through. I know kicker John Lunsford, and who graduated about 4 years ago. He was married, had kids, you know, while he was there. BJ Farrow, who is a really good wide receiver for Liberty, got married as a junior and then, you know, had kids for his senior year. Running back Carrington Mosley was married, I believe, his junior year as well, and had kids by the time he graduated. So it's not uncommon for Liberty to do that, but just this year, just don't have any married couples on the team this year.
Coming back to the gridiron, Damian, how do you see this game playing out? And also, what advantage, if any, do you feel Liberty has over BYU on paper?
I think the advantage Liberty would have would be offensively, if it's blunt tempo offense. If the Flames are able to score in 2 minutes or less whenever it touches the ball, that gives them an advantage over the Cougars, because, you know, I don't think BYU's faced a tempo offense like that this year.
They
could be wrong. And so that's something that, you know, could pose a problem for the Cougars. And defensively, Liberty needs to get a couple of stops. I mean, this might be a game where it gets a little bit high scoring, and whoever can come up with, I believe, like 3 stops per half probably has the best chance to win in this one. And the one issue that Liberty will have is its third down defense. Last week, UMass was 4-17. The week prior against Rutgers, which is a team I'm going to compare BYU to just because of the size of the lines on both offense and defense, but particularly on offense, Rutgers was 12-17 on third down. And Rutgers was able to have manageable second and third downs to be able to be in those positions to convert. And if Liberty is in a similar situation where it's not getting BYU behind the change, I could see the Cougars having some success being able to move the ball, particularly on the ground. And it won't matter who's a quarterback with that situation playing out. If Liberty's not in advantageous third down situations, BYU might be able to just line up, run the ball, pick up the first down, and keep the chains moving and keep Liberty's offense off the field. So, you know, being able to score quickly and then get off the field on defense will be my 2 keys for Liberty in this one.
Last thing from me, Damian, how big is this for Liberty just to play BYU, another faith-based institution? And I know you touched on a little bit earlier that Jerry Falwell, you know, wanted to see, you know, Liberty become maybe like a BYU or a Notre Dame for this university. So how big is this for the program?
You know, this is a big game in 2 aspects. One of this on what we touched on earlier with how big this is just for Liberty to get its first taste of playing an independent program that it achieves to be at in the near future with BYU. And secondly, Liberty needs one more win to become bowl eligible. And with 3 games left against BYU, Virginia, and then New Mexico State, you don't want to have to wait till the last week of the regular season at home against New Mexico State, a team Liberty's already played this year, in order to become bowl eligible. You want to get it done prior to that. And, you know, this is a big game for Liberty to go in, and if it can win and become bowl eligible, it adds a resume building victory to that, where if Liberty falls into the at large pool, you know, Liberty can throw that nugget out there that it has beaten a BYU team that has some impressive victories on its own resume, with Tennessee, Utah State, Boise State, to name a few. So this is a game where, you know, not only does Liberty get a chance to expand its brand and put its name out there for evangelical Christians, but it also has an opportunity to become bowl eligible and get a chance to go to a bowl game for the first time in program history.
One of the things I like about, you know, following people or seeing Twitter accounts, I'm just looking at your Twitter account, Damien. I saw that you posted a picture of the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Is it better than Chick-fil-A?
Not really. You know, it's, they have to add the sauce to it to make it spicy, whereas it already comes. They have their own spices within the breading of the chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A, and I just like that better compared to, you know, having to throw a sauce on there to make it spicy at Popeye. So, you know, I have to go Chick-fil-A with that one.
I'm with you there. Well, Damien, I appreciate all the insight, and make sure to follow him, BYU fans, on Twitter this weekend. Damien Sordelet, he's got his bylines will be at newsadvance.com. He covers all things Liberty football and Liberty basketball, who they got a pretty good basketball squad as well. So, Damien, thanks again for hopping on.
I appreciate it, Mitch. Thanks for having me on.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.